Hey there, everyone. We got trouble right here in River City because it is, my goodness, it is episode 76, Trombones of the Blind Bargains cast. I am Joe. That guy trombones. Over there is JJ. And capital T.
And a song that most of you are too young to know.
I would say. Robert Preston, they probably only know him from the last Starfighter.
It was the Music Man. It was from the 50s. I think it's public domain. We might even be able to play it. I'm not sure. But it's an old song. It's not 76 years old yet.
It's a very, very nice, wonderful musical. It's Shelley great. Brisbane is probably out there ready to browbeat us a lot over mentioning old movies. That's her domain. Speaking of domain, some people have said that Android is our domain. Well, yeah, we did
sometimes.
An Android podcast for a while. Yeah, that might mean that we're going to do a little talking about the old Google event that happened on October 4th, where there were new phones and all sorts of other new hardware announced over at a small little event over in Google Town. But before we get into that and before we jump to the news, we want to thank our friends, our sponsors, our good guys over there at Hims.
Thank you so much, Hims Lifestyle Innovation. You can visit them at hims-inc.com, and we'll have more from them a little later in the show. If I'm reading your tweets right, we'll talk about this later. Uh-huh. I think you and I are both buying things that were announced today, right? Or have bought?
Yeah, I definitely have some things that are in the pipeline for buying. It's really funny because over here in the corner, I'm looking over to my left. I see two iPhones that have just walked in the door. I was hoping they would show up during the Google event, which is really funny. One of the beauties of being an accessibility tester is that you have to have hardware in order to test on. So we have a little bit of everything here in the Ranger Dome aisle. No.
Half two is a little bit of a strong term
Ranger
sometimes.
Domicile? Something like that.
Domicile. Yeah. Half too strong sometimes. It's partly a good excuse, too, but it's a convenient excuse to buy
this
things.
This is true. We still have Sound Off. We still have Last Word, a very disturbing Last Word that once when you hear it, you will not unhear it. Jay heard it before.
I'm trying to unhear it. I just listened to it. Trying to unhear it. And also, yeah, I threw in my half a Sound Off a $200 Indiegogo that I think y'all gotta have.
Okay, this sounds good. Tip of some kind. Not sure who it's going to be from because we actually had another possibility of another guest tipster. And maybe something in the middle of the show, either having to do with keyboards or Google or something. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting show. Make sure always to read the show notes over at blindbargains.com to follow along with us at home. Now that we've gone through all the preliminaries, let us get into the news. Looks like that Keysoft software thingy is a go, huh?
So, and you know, I guess we're still figuring that out. So this is Keysoft 2, right? Because they restarted the numbers. You know, big brownout versions. We went to Keysoft.
So Keysoft Modern? We wouldn't necessarily call it
this
classic.
This is the new like Keysoft 2. No, they're just calling it 2 again. I mean, and we knew this because they started off with 1 and 1.1. This is Keysoft 2 for the brownout touch, which is going to be coming out in a few weeks. There was a webinar, or as my speech likes to say, webinar. That Greg Stilson did. Gotta love the webinars, right?
Those are the best.
Yes, Greg Stilson did one of those. It was done live. It was posted on YouTube. Thanks to the nice HumanWare Twitter folks. When I was like, hey, I want to cover this webinar. Did you archive it? And they tweeted back within about 5 minutes and sent that right over. So a few new things. We already knew about the KNFB reader coming to Keysoft 2, which still sounds weird for me to say. We knew that was coming. That's free.
I'm still having trouble hearing it just like I am Last Word.
Right. Yes. I'm like, wait, what? For the classic Keysoft 2? The one, it's interesting. We just had a Sound Off email a couple weeks ago about how someone didn't want to upgrade to the Braille Note Touch because they couldn't connect it to their iPhone. Well, that's back. So the Braille Terminal mode
there you go, then.
Is there. So there's one less excuse you have. Now you can now connect to your iPhone and flip back and forth and do your messages and flip back to your Android-y Braille Touch. And do KNFB Reader or do some UEB math or Nemeth math and actually have it look like math when you print it out as opposed to like left frac, open frac, closed frac, or whatever. It'll actually look like fractions and things like that.
Battlestar Galactica, is that what that was?
Yeah, well, it was these really weird text fraction things that, you know, if you were to type in Nemeth before, it would just type it all out in text. That's how they did it before.
Okay, gotcha.
It was a big Braille Sense selling feature for a long time because the HIM stuff would print out like real math and this wouldn't, but now it supposedly will. Using a new app called KeyMath, Braille embosser support wirelessly. Take a gander at the first Braille embossers they're going to support.
Huh.
Perhaps the ones that they also happen to sell.
Interesting.
Not a surprise. The Romeo 60 and Juliet 120. are going to be supported. I would hope others soon, because Index also does wireless printing with the V5s, and it's somewhat the same hardware. So that's coming. The ability to read and edit your old key BRF files and BRL files, which some people were complaining about before, that they couldn't do much with them.
Did they import them? Is that save them?
No, you bring them into the key BRF app, and I don't know if you can translate them from there or what you can do. But they say you can edit them. So I'm not sure if that's just using the Braille keyboard. There's more demos and things in the actual webinar that we linked to. So some of these things are explained. I didn't get a chance to listen to the entire hour of the thing. It's a lot of other little things.
I mean, that's a major release within the first
3 months in. Yeah.
6 months of release. Like,
yeah. Well, 1.1 just came out in July. So that's a pretty quick turnaround.
That's not too bad for those of you who might've dropped some coin on that particular display or note taker. So, that might actually let people know that they are committed and that there are updates.
Oh yeah, definitely. And, you know, of course, some of these things were probably in the works before version one, and either they just weren't entirely ready for prime time, you know, or they were able, or in the case of KNFB, it's just, hey, let's just sign a couple contracts and make this happen and make the KNFB on the Braille. No, that's a pretty simple thing.
Rather than putting like a shortcut on the desktop that would launch you and then you would install it and off you would go. No.
Well, and they say too that the KNFB app is going
to pay for it though.
You do it that way. You do with the KNFB.
You would have if you'd gone that direction.
Exactly.
And the same way with the Embosser, those are ones that they had access to. So that's probably why they were first.
And some of that is stuff that was in the Braille Note Apex. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that I've said and others have said, when I'm already forgetting about it, the Braille Plus 18 came out, the Android version of it, was they like dropped about half of the features that the older Braille Plus had. You were going backwards. Basic things like a spell checker were in the older Braille Plus, and then when they switched to the new one, they didn't bring that forward. So you were going to pay to upgrade a note taker to something newer, and it was missing half the features. Who cares if it has Android? It's missing half the features that you had. So really important when you're redoing Keysoft to kind of bring in as many of those things as you had before and bring them back, so you aren't really doing a downgrade by upgrading, if you know what I mean.
Always keep watching these keys when you look at the blind bargains classifieds, because we've seen a couple of high-profile names actually show up there, whether it be a Braille2Go unit or just recently in InVision ID Make Galaxy.
You were just mentioning that last week. We were just saying how the BTG, we haven't seen a Galaxy yet. Well,
there it is. Someone put up a Galaxy for a pretty good price too. $750.
Nimer.
It's not a bad one.
Wasn't rich either again.
Yeah, I know. We singled out somebody and it ended up not being him. That is
Nimer selling his Galaxy. That's a good deal for $750. And it's probably gone by the time that you hear this, but that's why you need the classifieds.
But that's why you got to follow us on Twitter. Keep looking at the Blind Bargains feed. Grab the Blind Bargains app and you can keep up to date as those things show up, because they do get gobbled up super quick. Now, what also gets gobbled up is books. Now, we mentioned last week about Bookshare crossing 10 million books. One memorable milestone for sure. One of the other milestones that we'd like to be able to say is that there's 21 partners in the Marrakesh Treaty. But right now, no. Right now, no. Looks like 20 countries is the Marrakesh Treaty's reality at the moment. And our friends to the north, Canada, would be one of those countries, isn't it? One of those things.
And they were the 20th, and they signed at the end of June. And basically, 90 days after a country signs it, it becomes ratified. And they were the 20th. They signed it June 30th. So September 30th, bam, it is in effect. And there was the first exchange of books, kind of symbolically, between the CNIB and Vision Australia. Over 80 countries signed it originally, including us, the U.S. But the ratification is what matters. 20 for now. There's a couple others that are coming on board. You know who's there? We're not on the list. North Korea is on the list, and we're not on the list.
Wow.
One of the most...
I think that was all because of Dennis Rodman.
Rodman. Yes. It's all Rodman. Dennis Rodman.
That's right. That's how it happened. Dennis Rodman made that happen.
He did. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, lots of other countries. UK's there. Australia's there. Canada's there. Brazil is there. There's others missing. We're not the only ones. Only a quarter of the ones that signed it have ratified. But
it comes to books, we've always had an issue when it comes down to what happened with NLS, having to fight for those. You know, remember the 2-year rule where you had to wait for 2 years before we could even look at a book from being majorly published, because, you know, if we put it out on cassette or Braille or something, they will never buy a book. So you guys don't have to read books on time. It was like I was waiting for Doctor Who to come over from Britain all over again. You would have to wait for books to be done. We take it for granted how quick or fast or easy we can get books these days. But for a lot of countries, that's not the case. And it is a shame that this is one of those things that is kind of preventing that. The publishing industry can be very dogmatic, you know, at times.
There's some really small countries on that list. And for a much small, you know, you think it's a big deal for the U.S., for a country like, you know, like Uruguay or, you know, Peru, I don't know what's available in some of these smaller countries, but I'm assuming many of them don't have the access to books that even we do, or that other, you know, civilized countries have, or first world countries, whatever. And there are some really small countries that have signed it and who potentially are going to be coming on in the future. And they're going to gain from it even more than we are. But, you know, obviously cool to see at least some of our friends being able to. We'll definitely start looking up for examples. And if you see examples of sharing between libraries, or, you know, when the CNIB or RNIB or some of them start opening up their collections, definitely let us know. We'll be on the lookout for that as well. And because that certainly would be a huge thing. We'll see how it affects Bookshare as well with their international collections. But it's a big step. And maybe it's one of those things after the election, sometimes these lame duck things happen, which is
that was kind of what I was thinking.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking is that it'll get in as a writer on something, or it'll just sit until the next session walks through with the new president. So who knows? Collections are a thing that Apple Vis does a lot. They actually get together and come up with apps of the month. We talk about them every so often, and you know, it's a great thing to be able to look at the beginning of the month and see what they found was one of the better apps for the past month. You know, other things have been Blindfold Racer. There have been some of the, of course, classic something else games. So those have shown up. And have you even tried that new Wheel of Fortune-like game from Blindfold Games? That's pretty cool.
I haven't played that one yet.
Yeah, it's very much like Wheel of Fortune, but not using the Wheel of Fortune or the, you know, there's no Vanna, there's no theme song. It is, though, spinning a wheel, landing on certain numbers, and solving a puzzle with letters that you come up with. That might be a title or phrase or the like. It's pretty neat. And that's just another one of the great games over at Blindfold Games that you should check out.
There's a lot that came out in September, isn't there? The Nearby Explorer was one of the biggest for the iPhone. Huge. They got Google Allo, of course. There's an ERC client mentioned here.
Yeah, Allo and Duo, which seems to be only in portrait mode and does not go into landscape mode, but does work somewhat okay with iOS. It's got that weird new way of putting in codes where you get the ability to enter in a number in each edit field, and you have to flick to it, and it is just weird.
You see this? A Media Navi Rec. It's a navigational recorder. It's a GPS app meets voice recorder, capable of recording audio in its relocations during an entire travel trip, and then it will recreate them later. I guess, so it's like you could walk a route and like say things, and then you can play it back for someone. Is kind of how I'm reading that.
Maybe if you were trying to give someone directions, or, I mean, if you could export those out and read them like through Dropbox or something like that, or record it for somebody else if you're doing mobility training, maybe.
Yeah, not a lot of confidence in the previous Amedia apps. I mean, that was their OCR thing, but, you know, who knows? But, yeah, all that's on Apple Vis for September 2016. They do these monthly, and I've been liking them since they've been doing them.
It is really cool. Another thing that's really cool, and a shout-out to a good friend of ours, Jeff Bishop, was over at the Ignite conference in Atlanta for Microsoft, speaking about accessibility. We'll have a link here in the show notes. And if you're not following Microsoft Accessibility, Microsoft Enable, do yourself a favor, man. There is some amazing information that comes up there. And it's not just about Office or Windows. It's about all parts of Microsoft. So Visual C++ stuff gets up there. There's also some information up there about, of course, the Xbox. Yeah, that's one of the ones I read about. But if you get a chance, definitely go over there. And that's actually where I pulled the link from, because this was on Channel 9. And good on you, Jeff, for getting up there and talking about accessibility.
Good stuff. Well, tell you what, let's do this. Why don't we, let's run the HIMSS ad right now, and it's nice and early, and since they're great people, and we want you to hear about that. And then we're going to come back and talk about Google things that we're buying, and then maybe some other things, depending on how much time we have. But it's lots have happened at Google. So we will talk about them right after this on BBQ76.
Go make it happen with GoVision, the new transportable video magnifier from HIMSS. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. HIMSS, lifestyle innovation.
Hello, Hello is one of the apps that you can find on the Google Play Store, and they mentioned about Hello and Duo and several other amazing things to come from Google in the Google event that was held on October 4th. And I got to say up front, this was kind of a short event. It wasn't extremely long.
I'm okay with that.
Some Apple keynotes have been. There were some videos in there, like Apple keynotes.
Weren't described like Apple keynotes.
No. There was like the forced applause, like at the Sony PlayStation 4.
It sounded like there were 50 people there.
Weird.
It sounded like a really small crowd.
But they said was huge. And there was lots of huge things. Unfortunately, a lot of it, if you follow the tech press, was spoiled. So there were not a whole lot of surprises when it comes to the death of the Nexus line.
Pretty much how it's been lately, right? Yeah, we had the same thing with the Apple one. I mean, these keynotes have been, we know what's coming. It's just some of the nuts and bolts and details and things. But the thing that I bought that we'll talk about in a minute, I knew what it was and the price already before the keynote. And the thing that you're going to buy, we pretty much heard the price and everything before as well.
Yeah. So pour a thing of jelly beans out for the Nexus line. They is gone. They is dead. Yeah. They actually took off the 6P and the 5.
That was the IO I was at.
All those are gone.
When the Nexus came out, that was my IO.
Yeah.
That was off a few years ago. It's been a while.
So Pixel, long live the Pixel line of phones. There was the Pixel and the Pixel XL. That would be a 5-inch screen and a 5.5-inch screen available in black, white, and I like really blue.
Really
that was
blue?
Limited edition. Really blue. What was really weird is that it was only available in 32 gig. There's 32 gig and 128. Those are your choices. Enjoy. Prices start at $649, work there all the way up to $900.
That's iPhone pricing. That's a big change.
It is.
For Google.
And it's extremely expensive outside the United States. I was seeing people talk about Canada and the UK, and it was definitely more expensive out that way outside the United States. Shipping pre-orders are up now. Looks like it's going to be a couple of weeks, so probably about a month or so, depending how things go.
And it's a Verizon as well. How does that work? It's a Verizon
exclusive, and it's locked. So if you were looking to play with your bootloaders, do not get the Verizon version. Not that this is a surprise.
But you can buy it unlocked too, right?
That is correct from the Google Play Store.
So why would you buy the locked version? Why the heck would you buy the Verizon version at the same price?
Wanted Verizon plan, if you were on the Verizon plan, you wanted to upgrade, if you wanted to have
Google
Verizon
does payment plans too,
or handsets.
Right?
This is true. And you could use the Fi network.
Right. I mean, I'm a Verizon customer.
Why not?
I mean,
sure, why not, right?
Also, I really want the Verizon messaging app because it's so much better. No.
There was a lot of speculation on Twitter about what would be bundled, if anything would be bundled. So that is a very good question.
Another
we'll have
headset.
To wait for that actually to ship to know more. But we know that it will have Hello, and the Duo icon was on there. They were definitely pushing the Google apps within house. The camera is said to be super good, but not like the cameras that are in the new iPhone 7.
And it doesn't stick out of the phone. Plus. They made a point of telling us.
I noticed that. And it's not water resistant in the same ways either.
That's
so
a big
that's
drawback to me. That's a deal breaker for me.
That's what Molly Wood said, too. She thought that was a big fail, and I would have to agree. There are already some talk about how they feel, so there's a little bit more aluminum. It's not glass. There is a headphone jack, for those who are wondering, so that exists.
Yes, and USB-C charging, right?
Correct.
Which is the same as what the Nexus is from last year. That's the newer... That's what things are going to be going to after micro USB. It's reversible USB if you haven't seen it yet. It's pretty similar to dimensions to Lightning, and there will be more phones that will go to USB-C at some point.
Shipping with 7.1 nougat. So right past 7.0 into 7.1 land when this thing goes. I thought that was somewhat interesting. If you do buy one, you do have the ability to have unlimited storage for photos and movies. Thank you,
yeah, and
YouTube
movies.
And That's Google Photo. And during the conversation and demos throughout the event was a lot about Google Assistant, which is, well, it was Google Now. It is now called Google Assistant, which is going to be very confusing to us if somebody starts writing assistant technology.
And everything they demoed, except for maybe one or two things, I'm looking at my phone like, I can do that now. I can do that now. What are you, exactly. What are you showing me? And, I'm my Samsung, so I guess they're going to expand more with Home, and we'll talk about Google
There's
Home in a
Pixel
minute.
There's the Pixel Launcher, and that's going to be exclusive to the Pixel line. So that's the new Google Now-like launcher that has some things that are unique to how they're doing. But you're essentially right. It is a layer over what you're already doing.
Okay, so you're looking at this. So this is why I'm going to ask you this. I have my Samsung S7. You have an S7 as well, right? That's where you are with current phones.
S5.
You still have an S5. Okay, that changes things.
I still have an S5 in the house.
Okay, so you did not upgrade to the Galaxy S7. So is that going to be your upgrade path personally then, or are you just going to get this as a tester and be done with it? Because
I will probably get this as a test unit and then switch between the iPhone and the Android phone for day to day until I find which one I really like using more for day to day. But the other one is perfectly for testing. And I looked at it from the point that I wanted a Nexus-like experience, which seems to be now the Pixel experience. And we don't have anything in the house to test for Nougat. So we needed a Nougat line. It looks like the Shield tablet, which was also removed. I forgot that it was being sold at the Google Play Store, but those were also removed. Shield VR and the Shield tablet are gone. So I was looking at, well, if they get a new Pixel tablet, which there were rumors, but now it looks like it might be next year because it might use the Andromeda operating system, which is, for those who aren't following at home, Chrome and Android kind of mixed up.
That was the big news that didn't come.
Yeah, that looks like that's going to be an IO type thing, but definitely still out there.
Right, probably still a ways off.
But we didn't get a new tablet, so I will have to go Pixel, and I would probably go Pixel 5, only because of I don't need extra data. I would probably do 32 because most of my stuff is in the cloud. I've already uploaded it to Google Music. I'm good.
If I had zillions of hours of free time, I would get this just, to have the Android 7 experience, but with 1%, 2%, less than that, none of my clients are clamoring for Android 7 testing. I'm not clamoring for it. I'm not here to do Google's beta testing.
Android 6 at the moment. How much TouchWiz is in the S7 though? I mean, you've had the S5. Do you feel like TouchWiz covers, it's like a skin over Android? Does it get in your way? Do you know it's there? Because in the past we've said that TouchWiz was a benefit.
TouchWiz is, does some of the built-in apps like the messaging app, which is Samsung and their phone dialer. As far as app testing, since we both are, I'll bring that up for a second, testing apps for accessibility. As far as that is concerned, when you're running an actual app, there's no difference because the app is using the app's own stuff plus TalkBack plus perhaps Chrome and Android WebView. Those are all native things. None of that is Samsung at all. So I'm not using VoiceView. I use TalkBack on my Samsung because VoiceView has a few interesting little features, but TalkBack is getting more updates than VoiceView, and we get more communication from the team. So I don't find being on Android 6, which I think still is behind 5 as far as
35%
adoption, it's catching
up.
But 6 is the most common, and we will get 7 on the Galaxy S7 within a few months. I don't find any need to feel, I have to have a pure Nexus experience for testing versus Samsung anymore. I don't think it's needed.
This is exactly it. So we're back to what some people are looking for. Are they looking for the experience of what Google defines it as? Same way with the Surface, right? Some people want the Surface from Microsoft because it is the premium experience Microsoft is wanting you to have.
A nice phone.
This kind of falls within it. And the pricing matches that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a nice phone.
It's a flagship. But there are cheaper Android phones out there that would run stock Android just fine.
I mean, I'll be interested to see the spec comparison between this and the S7 or even the Note 7 now that they're finally coming out with ones that don't blow up as much.
But I've done a lot of talking here on Sound Off, and I've written some people back at Blind Bargains, feedback at Blind Bargains, and said that it's better to come from a position of understanding and knowledge to criticize something. So that's where I'm going is I want to be able to have this phone
one of us will be buying
that ecosystem and be able to say, okay, this is what it is to be in the Apple experience. If you have the Apple experience, you got the phone, you got the watch, you got the Mac, you got the handoff, you got all that working. This is what that walled garden is like.
Well,
and the same exists with Google. And yeah. And that brings me to where you were about to jump to, which is Google Home. And I've already seen it start on Twitter. People who are defending Amazon Echo for
there is
a lot of
both.
People see a lot of similarities between the Amazon Echo and the Google Home.
So I'll segue it this way. You mentioned the Google Assistant.
Yep.
One of the changes that they're making on your Pixel that you're ordering that is, you know, an Apple thing entirely is they're finally making it now so when you hold down the home button, you get the voice assistant right away.
Yay. Right?
Instead of OK Google.
There's nothing
small
like,
but nice Apple little change.
That decision, but
no.
And you can still have hands free. You can still do.
Sure, you can still say OK Google. And, right. And you could do. It'll
just
work.
Like you can say, hey,
except
Siri.
For just now, apparently. But right. Any other time you can do that.
And what's the Amazon one? Let's go ahead and set everybody's Echo.
Alexa.
Off, right? Let's go through all the phrases, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, Cortana.
You're on my headphones.
Everybody you can't do mad at us.
You're on my headphones. You can't do anything to me. You're fine.
Oh.
But yes, you're right. Pretty soon I will be able to say, okay, Google, and my Google.
What you can say, take a look at the.
Alexa, be quiet.
Game time to drink vanilla Coke. That's where I went today.
I'm going to say, okay, Google, and my new thing will pop up.
The assistant is kind of sort of worked into all of Google's services. They demonstrated this on the Pixel and, of course, on Google Home, and it's contextually aware. Now, it has new TTS voices, which are kind of spooky at times of how clear they are. They've spent a lot of time, as you heard back at Google I.O. in May, listening to things with, was it, far communication or far near communication.
Farfield.
The phrase
yeah, yeah.
Farfield communication. Yes, that's it. That you would hear in the Amazon Echo. So they've spent a lot of time working with that with Google.
So let me describe the hardware first. So yes, the Google Home is their Amazon Echo answer. $129, $50 less than the Echo as of the moment, although the Echo I'm sure will come down. Yes, I pre-ordered. It's still cylindrical. They're,
what
instead of a 360, I did not get a stand.
Okay.
Unless it comes with one. I don't think it does. You can get these base
they have neat orange stands
things. That's
pretty,
great.
Pretty
no. Did not get one. Hopefully it doesn't fall over. It is, instead of a cylindrical speaker, the speaker is on the front and the sides, which I am fine with because my thing is against, you know, my Echo right now is against a wall, so the back speaker doesn't really do anything. Just two microphones instead of seven, but apparently in people's tests they're saying it works pretty well as far as figuring that out. Now, it does all the usual Google things, so a lot of what Amazon does, it's going to do. You can say, play the Backstreet Boys on Spotify, and it will do it. And it has Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Google Play Music, YouTube, right off the bat.
Initially. There'll be more as they come.
And there'll be more coming.
And it will remember, which is even better. So you can actually say, make YouTube your default, so it knows.
You can, yep, or you put it in settings. And to be fair, you can do that on the Alexa app as well. You can set your default music provider, as it will. So they're pretty much the same. It has Google Play Music instead of Prime Music. Other than that, they're the same list of music sources for now. I like the My Day thing. You see that?
Yeah, where you could actually
get up good morning.
And say, what's right?
Yeah,
and it goes through Google Calendar and tells you what you have in your day.
It
and
tells you that you the weather, the traffic.
Yep.
Yeah, the traffic to your work, the weather, it's any reminders you had set. You know, and yeah, right, and your calendar. It's kind of cooler than this little cutesy good morning Amazon thing. I've been trying to find an app to do something like that for a while.
I like some of the handoff stuff. So they did a demonstration where they said, list the camping stores around the area. And it gives you that, you know, blah, 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 blah. REI. Okay, REI is great. Would you like directions? You bet. I can send those to the phone. Yes. So you could
find out.
It would tell you the traffic. It would pitch all that stuff up. Or you could ask it a question, and then, because this is the Google ecosystem, you could then have that thrown to a Chromecast video and have information fly up there on the screen. So you could actually send information to where you need it if you were wanting to have it on a device. You could send it to your phone, you could send it to the Chromecast, or it could read it to you back in TTS.
And it goes both ways. So it is a Chromecast device, so meaning you could take your Android or iPhone and on lots of apps, of course, Pandora and Spotify, but also apps like MLB At Bat, for instance, which I don't really care about now until next year because my team is out.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you can hit the cast button and you can have it pop up on your Google Home. or your other Chromecasts. And you could also, because they added this before, there's multi-room support. So you could put your Google Home and your other Chromecast audios in a group, and then you can kind of have whole room audio. Or you can say, play NSYNC on my Chromecast, or play House of Cards on my TV. You know, any of these things are kind of linked up. These are things that people have been asking for the Echo for a while, and they will add them eventually, but they're here now on the Google Home.
Well, and the other thing is that a lot of this is Android. Even the Echo is running on a modified version of Android. So there's a little bit of give and take here. And to make a comparison between them is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The biggest issue is if you live in the Amazon Ecoverse, then you're going to have some issues like, why can't I get my Amazon stuff over here to Google Land, and, you know, sort of vice versa, because there are walled gardens.
Yeah, if you use the Echo to buy a lot of stuff, you're going to miss that, although I wouldn't be surprised if there will be other ways to buy things from other stores.
I would not be shocked if Amazon goes, okay, we'll make a version of a home skill, if you will, because they're called actions.
Right.
Rather than skills. But there's probably going to be a way, because when it comes to selling stuff, that's what Amazon's all about. And they'll probably give you a way in. I don't know if they'll give you a way out, but definitely a way in, possibly. And that's another thing. You'll be able to do things like, possibly apps like Instacart and stuff, make shopping lists, add that to your shopping list and throw it to your phone and do it from there, or throw it to another app and let it take off from there.
I think
there,
it's just going to integrate.
You'll be able to do that kind of stuff.
It's going
to
integrate more tightly. Now, a lot of these things would have been possible and are possible with skills now for the Echo. But when somebody can write an action and have it work on both the Google Home and on Android phones at the same time, I think that you're going to get a lot of people pretty quickly. A lot of your Android developers are going to come right onto this, and you're going to see a lot of early integration with it, which is really exciting. And mind you, by the way, if you're in the Google ecosystem, great. You don't really have to be in the Android ecosystem to enjoy the Google Home.
Correct.
Yeah, it'll help to have
a lot of Google stuff works in iOS.
Exactly. I mean, if you have Calendar and things like that, yes, if you use Google Calendar, yes, that'll be really cool. And the integration there should be good. I do wish the phone stuff was there.
Thing with Uber. That Uber demonstration was also kind of neat. And you could tie that into, again, restaurants and things like that in Maps and all of that talking back and forth. They're also going to have hardware partnering with Nest, big surprise, and some other smart home controls.
Yeah, Philips Hue. So
you'll be able to like control things at your house, which is kind of cool.
And those come. They will come. I mean, the same companies that came out of the Echo, they're not going to ignore this. So they'll be there.
Yeah, 30 million Chromecasts sold. That's kind of hard to ignore. It is still one of the top sellers at Amazon of all places.
Well, they're cheap. And they're $35. People put them.
And, you know, when you say, okay, I could do some of this zoning stuff with Sonos. Yeah, you can. But you can actually hook up a Chromecast audio to older speakers. And you could actually, you know, broadcast the same song around the entire house if you would like. If you have older speakers, you just connect that up through, you know, the 3.5 jack through the aux.
Yeah, not everyone wants to go into an entirely new speaker system. I mean, it's $1,000 or more to get a decent Sonos setup. That's not
Chromecast
cheap.
Support and speakers, JBL and some others have that, just like AirPlay speakers. Mm-hmm. So there are these standards that are coming across.
I guess the thing that, at least for now, and I'm going to have them both here for a little bit, and I'll do a little Quentin Chris Christensen from NVX has suggested I should do like the, you know, which yell commands of both of them and see what happens, and maybe we'll do that.
Who goes faster?
But when I was looking at buying the home for $129, I'm thinking, okay, what will I really lose from the Echo? And other than, you're right, purchasing from Amazon, Jeopardy, the Capital One skill is pretty cool, you know, for paying my credit card, but things like that will come over to home. They'll do the same type of things for home. I didn't really feel like I was losing a lot. And the thing that has frustrated me the most on the Echo is the voice recognition, where Google is 99% spot on with getting what you're looking for, both in understanding the actual words and understanding what you mean. Echo's about 70% there. They are even saying, like, you could say, hey, Google, play that one song from Frozen. You know the one.
Yeah, that one, you know, that big hit that with what's her name and blah, 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 and it did the contextual search. And that deep learning, that is where Google exceeds. That's who they are. That's in their DNA. They want you to have that Star Trek computer-like interaction. And Amazon, primarily, is about selling cloud services and selling you stuff. That's where they're going. It's more consumption. Where, again, and this is somewhat speculation, but through the demos that were shown And through the larger base of the Chromecast audio and video ecosystem, there's already a lot of apps that have support in that area, both on iOS and Android. I use TuneIn with my iPad all the time with my Chromecast. So there's going to be a lot more uptake in that direction moving forward. If you've got an Echo, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not saying that you chose poorly or that's a horrible thing. Why did you buy such a thing? Right. And that is usually the best part about this, right? A lot of things Apple does, they were not first. They weren't the first with a tablet. They weren't the first with you know, kind of recognition with Siri.
And they won't be first with this. They will come out with theirs next year or whatever.
But
and then
my mama once told me a long time ago, nobody wants to be first, but everybody will kill to be second. And that's what this is.
And it's always easier as the second one in to look at everything that people were complaining about with the first one and pick some of those things like, hey, we're doing this.
First mover advantage doesn't always become an advantage. That can happen from time to time. So you bought one of those. I'm considering one of those. I'll probably get it at Best Buy. I don't think that I'll pre-order. I think I'll actually.
You get six months of YouTube Red. You get 6 months of YouTube Red.
I have Google Play Music, so that doesn't really impact me. But if you didn't have Google Music or you don't have YouTube Red, that is YouTube without ads. And it sounds like it's not a big thing, but oh, it is so wonderful once when you do
especially
it.
Especially, it's a little bit harder. Yes. I think there are some ways. I know on the computer, I have uBlock Origin, which blocks a lot of this ad stuff, but on your phone especially.
But I like having my Google history, my YouTube history. I've gone back and shown people things like, oh, what was the name of that again? And I just went back through my YouTube history, and you can get to some YouTube exclusive content.
I won't keep it. And that's I'm not going to keep that and Spotify, but...
You can get the YouTube app that allows you to use background audio. Like you can background audio with YouTube Red. You can actually get an app to throw it up to the Chromecast audio if you don't want to throw it to the Chromecast video. So that's another thing is that you have that kind of deeper integration and that support to go back and forth. It's good also if you upload stuff. It's kind of
and ultimately people are going to, there will be ways for you to play your own music on this thing, I'm sure. So that type of integration will be really cool, being able to hook into your own.
I really wish the Google Music app was way more friendly with screen readers, because that is one of the downsides is that as a blind person, you can't really get your collection up into the cloud very easily. Ricky's tried to do it with her collection two or three times. I used Zoom Text, of course, to be able to help me get into it. There are just some things that it just doesn't read on Mac or Windows. We've tried both. But to have your own music collection up there is so amazing, because there are times where I've actually downloaded some things onto offline. Like when we were traveling from Texas to North Carolina, there were dead spots in the Verizon coverage. So A, I was shocked because that hardly ever happens to me. But B, I just went to my Google Music and played my offline content and got us through a very long stretch on I-20.
That's good to know.
So Google Home's biggest challenge may be multiple accounts. We have an article here in the show notes, a lot of articles, show notes with bigger descriptions, even more detail than what we're doing here in the show. And so some people are kind of concerned because if there are, you know, like Ricky and I.
That's an Amazon challenge too, though. That's not any different.
Agreed. It's a framework
issue.
It's
not a new thing. I mean, if any of these, it's the same. It doesn't make it worse than Echo. Yes. Any of these things, if you have multiple users, it's kind of, okay, who's in charge here now? My calendar, your calendar.
Family account, right?
Maybe you can set up a shared calendar and link that to the, you know, if everyone in the family. I don't know. That might be possible.
But I had more of a Google library. So I just recently took over family accounts on our Google account. So Ricky can see books and movies and music that I have, but not my shared stuff. So if I had music that I'd bought through Google Play, some of that was active. Some of it wasn't active. But books and movies, you can get to things that we have here in the house, like Steven Universe and other books that I've gotten. And that's interesting to see.
Yeah.
You do have controls in there. Like she can't buy anything in app purchase without it coming across to me and asking for me to give her permission to buy things, which is kind of funny. Very funny.
That's an interesting,
it's a way of doing it.
Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah, I did uncheck the box because I saved myself some strife, but you can do that. But you know, there are some parental controls in there, and all of that is fairly easy to access.
Yeah, that should be the other way around, Joe.
I know. And there's still a difference of experience. Sometimes there's different controls that you can find on a Google device or on the web than you can on an iOS device. But some of that's, you know, again, ecosystem, 30%, yada, yada, yada.
A couple Google little other Wi-Fi, things. Yeah, exactly.
That is a mesh-like network that you can buy. They're little hockey pucks that you can put around the house to kind of give you.
Do they have a big stock of pucks? Because that's what Chromecast was little hockey pucks.
So it can feed off of one router in the house, and you could set it up as repeaters in a way. You can actually use that as your main thing. It does have an app that you can use. You could actually pause the Wi-Fi or do things from really cute UI to like shut off the 14-year-old's laptop in the house. I like that idea. To say, it's time to go to bed. I have turned off the internet. You have the ability to see kind of this. This isn't anything too different from what other routers have out there. Naturally, there's some talk right now that it works with the Fi network and that it can do some things. This is not also available. I didn't say that right. This also is not available. There we go. Right. That's better. And devices, if you already have a router, that's you're fine. This does have like 4 gigs of flash, and there was some speculation that these were going to work with Google Home to kind of give you some offline storage or run apps from them if necessary. But you don't necessarily have to have these in order to enjoy the Google stuff.
No, but they want you to have them all over the house because you can buy them. Sure. One for $129 again, I think, or a 3-pack for $300.
Sure.
For a large house, which I don't know. To me, I'd rather have, some big old houses, especially, it's going to be hard to cover your entire house with one router. And if you're the type of person that already needs a repeater to cover everything,
and you don't maybe know this works. You don't feel,
and especially if you don't know, if you prefer to just have it plug in and work as opposed to setting up a router. I'm not the customer of this, but some of you may be, where you just want to plug the little thing in. Next time you think about a router, I like my Asus, and it covers our house and neighbors pretty well. And
have you watched people hit on the MAC address? Yeah, sure.
Well, no, I just know they could do it, but they would need our password. They don't have it. Sure. Maybe we should sell it to them. But as far as the setup of the thing, we'll see how it comes out. If you're looking for a new router, it's mostly wireless. There's only one wired Ethernet port on the whole thing.
Isn't that trippy? So trippy.
Not like four or five, like all of ours.
No, there is a wired port inside the Chromecast Ultra. This is available for what looks like $69. And the Chromecast Ultra is a beefed up version of the Chromecast Video for 4K resolution, high dynamic range, Dolby Vision. Like for an hour yesterday, and I said this on Twitter, I sat down and read a lot about high dynamic range and frame lock and interlock on video and Dolby Vision and HDR10. To put it bluntly, if you were going to get a great big 4K TV for Christmas, or if you just got one that does support high dynamic range, this is the unit you want to be able to have in order to get that kind of resolution out of it, because Wi-Fi routers are cool and things, but sometimes you just have congestion or the microwave goes off and it really impacts that picture. So there's an Ethernet port on the Chromecast Ultra, so you can get straight up stream from the pipe to be able to fill up all that 4K.
Nice. So that's a $69 item. And if you have people watching video in your house, that's, that is a pretty big deal as far as just the highest quality video out there. The other one, which I'll throw at you as a low vision person to see if this matters, this lighter weight, more comfortable VR.
It was actually more fashionable. It didn't look as blocky and Lego-y like you put a gigantic ViewMaster on your face. But having one eye, I'm usually not a fan of virtual reality. I'm more of an augmented reality, like what HoloLens or Google Glass with the camera. That's more my style, but HoloLens is going to have partial video and then you react to the rest of the world. That's more my thought. I don't want to block off everything to live in this virtual world where you could be like Harry Potter and have a wand and move around and stuff as seen during the demo. If you do actually pre-order a Pixel phone at the time of the recording, are limited. You can actually get one of these $79 Daydream VRs that work with your Google Pixel or other future phones to power the device. So where this is really going to come in though, for is education with Google Maps. I've talked about 360 video. Like I would like to see what it looks like at the pyramids of Giza, and you would put on this VR headset and then Google Maps would, through Google Earth, would
give you a tour
there and you could, that seems better for me, but the whiz bang, Harry Potter, that kind of thing, that's going to sell.
And Netflix stuff too. I mean, some of the new Netflix stuff will look really cool.
And YouTube, with the 4K. A lot of YouTube is apparently
the 360 stuff. Yes.
So that's kind of cool. They have,
so what you just take over, nice colors. Oh, geez.
It was like crimson and tan and blue and all these colors. So these things look kind of utilitarian and very industrial looking. So some people think you look like, you know, something, a reject from a bad science fiction movie when you have these goggles on your face.
You're wearing your phone.
And if you had glasses, right? You couldn't wear them. So these are designed in such a way that you can put these over glasses. So if you are low vision, that was kind of a barrier of entry to VR. So there's some advantages here, but for $79, this is kind of a, you know, going with your friends and
you're just, still,
you know,
wearing your phone, right? Is that, am I understanding you're that correctly?
You're still using the phone as your hub. Which, like, is still better than wearing a backpack.
Which means, you unsnap
the Oculus or something.
You unsnap this thing and you drop your phone in, and your phone's on your face, kind of. And this is that?
You put your phone in a cradle-like thing, and then you connect these goggles to it.
Okay, the cradle is not on your face. The cradle is somewhere else.
No. You're wearing like TV screens on your face.
Okay, where's the cradle? Is it wireless in your pocket?
The way I understand it is, it could go on your belt or it could be sitting next to you. It depends on what you're wanting to do, because there are some games. So you would put it on the side, then use the controller. Yeah.
It's a lot, man. It's a whole outfit of stuff.
And for some people, you know, who are going to get into, let's say, like the PlayStation VR, right? You got to have a $400 PlayStation. You have a $400 PlayStation VR. You can get the camera that look at you and do things, so it interacts with all of that. And the Oculus Rift cost a pretty penny. The HTC Vibe is one of the cheaper alternatives to getting into virtual reality. But this is all, again, we're back to first adopter stuff, right? We're back to first mover advantage. Everybody's trying to scrabble for a foothold in 4K, in VR, to kind of sort of etch out their position. And then Tim Cook recently said that he didn't see that VR was the way to go. He liked what Microsoft was doing with HoloLens, and he believes in augmented reality. So Apple's thinking about this as well. Even, you know, last year we were looking at the Apple TV fourth generation as possibly their version of Google Home. That doesn't seem to have come to pass this year, but it's definitely something that Apple could or is working towards. They seem to be much more into Apple Watch and letting that be the future of their computing, which brings us to no Android Wear. That was one of the rumors that was going around, and that was true. It looks like Android Wear is next year, and new Android watches are next year.
Tablets, no watches, no Chromebooks, no Andromeda books. This is it for now. So, I mean, the holiday lineup is pretty much shaping up. I think there's still an iPad event coming up at some point. If you're looking to buy a new Surface. iPad specifically, or an iPad
Microsoft
and Surface
Band
both,
was
right?
Killed off. So no Microsoft Band 3 this year, but there does seem to be Surface and possibly even Surface phones. Your dream may come true, Jay.
We're running out of time, though. If people want to set up for Black Friday, you're going to hear any more announcements in the next couple of weeks, and then you can decide, you want to buy the new things, or is the old thing good enough? And now that it's cheaper, I can just buy that, i.e. Nexus 6P or last year's Apple Watch.
Minus the Pixel, most of this stuff is affordable, and most of this stuff is going to come out in the holiday season. So that's actually kind of, if you do want to play with something like this, just like the Amazon Echo, it's in an affordable price range for a lot of people.
And by the way, speaking of, did we mention the new Dots? I think we talked about it a little bit last week. So that's kind of the new $50 Amazon Dots are another option now. The Echo Dot 2, you can hook them up. The one thing that they really made a play on with the Google Home is how it'll only recognize the closest one to you, and how they will kind of sync up with each other, where Amazon will kind of do that, and I guess only one of them will respond eventually. But there might be, I already saw some people that said, I canceled my Dot 2 pre-order, I'm going to get a Google Home. So, I mean, it depends how much Echo you have.
In that ecosystem, right? It's the same way as Apple Watch. If you love Apple, you're into Apple, you have a Mac, you have an iPhone, you have an iPad,
then you might wait for the Siri thing. You might wait for Apple Home. I mean, I don't buy it as much with Amazon, because there isn't as much of an Amazon ecosystem as there is Apple and Google. Since
the
Amazon doesn't have
tablet, come on, you could
But Amazon doesn't have. They don't have a calendar. They don't have email. They don't have. You know, they're not doing a lot of things. They sell you things, and they do storage, but being tied to Amazon, other than Prime Music and buying things, and I don't know, you're not as invested There's no, skills.
Skills are kind of one way ish too. I mean, there's some interaction, but what they're talking about, and by the way that they're going to do these Google Assistant versions of skills, they're going to be open as well. So they're going to have developers that are going to be able to write to those. We have a link about that in the show notes.
Yes.
That is going to be huge. You know, imagine what interaction you can do back and forth with that and Uber. You know, that actually is kind of exciting and interesting. And again, to be able to pass off to your mobile device is going to be extremely cool.
And to backtrack, the Siri opening up is only 6 specific types of things. One of them being rideshare, you know, a couple other specific categories of apps, fitness apps, for instance. Siri is not an open platform yet. Now, they're going to add more and more over time. And that's how Apple does things. I'm just saying, for anyone that's saying, oh, Siri is open now too. Yes, it's only open for certain things. You can't tell Siri, play Justin Bieber on Spotify. Maybe that's a good thing. But but you'll be able to do that with Echo, and you can do that with Google Home. So
choices. You know, you've said it before on the show.
Oh, there you go.
I've echoed you, not to use an Amazon term, but there is a, you know, a platform for each one of us deciding on where.
And they're going to push each other now. They're going to push each other a lot. I mean, I didn't buy the Echo when it first came out. I bought the Echo after seeing it in a few months. And then after seeing Liam demo it, then I decided to get one. And, you know, that's what I got it. So we'll see. What this does mean for our show is that we'll have some product reviews coming up, because mine should be coming the first week of November.
Right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah, well,
we got a Google Home Pixel demo
probably, and we'll, I mean, definitely have a Google Home demo at some point, because that should be pretty exciting. And you know,
you heard it first. Spinoff shows, the Blind Bargain spinoff shows. There they go.
That Pixel show. Go register it. Go get a domain before someone else.
Go grab it.
There you go. See, you didn't think we could kill this entire segment talking about Google, but we'll save your keywords.
We are long-winded
for later.
People. We can do these things if necessary. Well, I don't know about you, but definitely me. I've never been accused of being without opinion. After the tip, we will come back and do sound off, and then we'll run into that very scary sound off. All that and more in just a moment on Blind Bargains Cast 76. A few weeks ago, I talked about the importance of dark themes and how I may use VoiceOver on all my devices, but I still like to have that glare reduced if I can. And, you know, telling Siri to invert colors or turn invert colors off, I could get kind of repetitive. So in the Apple TV 4th generation, the newest update, they made it a lot easier for a lot of people to be able to look at text on the screen without having it being kind of black or white text on a white background. And that's in the new dark theme. And it's easy to get to. Just open up settings, use Siri on your remote or your new Apple TV remote app, which is so cool for your iDevices. And then head on over to settings, general, and then you're going to go down just a couple and you'll see one called appearance. It'll be set to light. If you click on it, you will move it over to dark. And that will allow you to have white text on darker backgrounds. One of the coolest things about the new Apple TV software, and I enjoy it immensely, especially on very, well, you know, bigger televisions, it can make a big difference if you have them in a very darkened area. That's dark theme. You can find it in your settings on the new Apple 4th generation TV. The latest update, September 2016.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com. Or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Yes, Joe did just say we're going to do sound off, and then we're going to do sound off. Is that what you... Okay.
Sure, why not?
Sound off twice.
I blame the vanilla Coke. It's not even Dr. Pepper this week. It's vanilla Coke.
It's not like vanilla flavored... it's not Stoli's vanilla Coke.
No, if it's going to do anything, it would be like, you know, Crown or something like that.
I never liked vanilla Coke because I used to drink Stoli's vanilla and Coke. And then when I had regular vanilla Coke, like, there's no alcohol in this. This is boring.
What's the matter?
I don't like
this
it.
This is awful. Did you have this in the sun? Where was this been?
But anyway, we're looking for your feedback, especially about what do you think? Any of these new products entice you? Or does the Brown Note Touch entice you more that it has newer updates? Let us know all these things.
At the same time, there's also, we haven't been ignoring it. There's a controversy out there about how some people see things. As you might know, there's a conversation going out there about the foundation for fighting blindness, and there's suggestion of blindfolds and stuff. We're interested in hearing what you have to say. We're not going to delve into it. I saw President Rick Abono of the National Federation of Blind just recently had an article through Huffington Post where NFB has talked about blindfold training and the like. I'm going to be very careful about this because I used to do blindfold training with people at the Commission for the Blind. I was actually a part of blindfold training and helping oversee it. So, but we want to hear what you have to say more than we have to say things about what other people have said. So feedback at blindbargains.com. Let us know on Twitter, of course, what you're thinking. Not just you don't like it. No, give some reasons why you think that is good or that is bad.
Yep. You have 140 characters. Not counting URLs now, so you can...
Yeah, this is true. Hooray, Twitter! What's in the mailbag, man?
This is a one from Joe that came in via the I Want to Send Feedback on the Blind Bargains app tab. That's okay. We've still found you. Talking about how she just got her iPhone 7, was a little bit hesitant at first. And you know, that's how it usually goes. A little hesitant at first, but how she's really loving it now. Da-da-ba-ba-ba.
Now I'm hungry.
A little bit richer sound. You know, you got the lightning earbuds and... Oh, she said she's planning on getting a pair of Aftershocks. Okay. Well, we like you, Joe. You can get those at atguys.com. There you go. But, you know, it happens a lot with new things and the apprehension of upgrading. When you think something's really going to affect you, and then you realize it doesn't. For some reason, my phone crashed last week. I don't know why. I think I might have hit the wrong button. I reset my phone. So I had to start reinstalling things because Google didn't pick up everything that I had before. And I didn't have it back up. I'm a bad person. But at this point, I've probably reinstalled maybe a third of the things that were on my phone before, and you start to realize, oh, I wasn't using that at all. Why was I keeping that on my phone? You know,
that's like moving from house to house. You decide, I don't really need to move that. I don't need to box that up. I can just trash that. Same thing with a new phone. When you go to a new phone and you sit down with
it's still in the box from the last move, why am I moving it again?
I didn't use that app before. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the scorched earth philosophy. I mean, when you start a new iPhone, do you want to transfer it over? Do you want to start as if it was a new phone? There are advantages to both.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you.
Dominique. Ah, good grief. Vanilla Coke. Dominique sends Salisbury's writes in.
Yeah, there you go.
And says, no audio this time around, but he did agree about the brilliant issue with iPhone/iOS and the stuff that Scott had mentioned in the bugs, but also gives his opinions about the iVerse and the good and the bad and the ugly of doing all of that. He also mentions a website here. Are you familiar with the one he mentions?
The BANA. Well, BANA is the Braille Authority of North America. And
yes.
And of course, they have, they would make sense that they would have UEB or UEB info. You down with UEB? Yeah, you know me. And it's good to have some resources for UEB and UEB.
Not everybody does know it. So that's actually a good reason why you mentioned it here and why we put your email in there, my friend, is that
I hope you have the link because right here it just says here's the link and nothing. So
Ricky has it and I think we have a bookmark.
I hope you're going to add that in.
So no, I'll add it to show notes. But that is a great place to be able to follow up on those kinds of things. It was actually how I was sort of learning about UEB before we kind of sort of came to the boat on UEB and adopted it. I actually was studying this kind of at the same time I was looking at, ready for this, the Cobra screen reader. So there was a lot with that. And also my work with students. So that's how I came across this.
I still like Chansey's hashtag.
Oh, yes. You know,
the save the double D hashtag.
It's hard to miss.
One of the contractions that got, yes, one of the contractions that is no longer in UEB, along with many of the others, is...
There's some good stuff there. So thank you for sending that in. We love to hear your information, suggestions, and even your submissions for ideas and or tips, as we had with Shelley last week. So if you have more of those, go ahead and send them on in. In fact, we've actually gotten a last word submission from our last emailer before, but that isn't what we have now. No, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we've teased it enough. Here is something that you will not unhear. This is the actual audio equivalent of a visual person's staring at an accident. Here we go.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
rubbernecking.
Stop that. Stop it.
You can't unhear it. The definition of an earworm, for sure. And what is very scary about this is that they work exceedingly well. There isn't too much trickery here to make this work.
Some of the ones we played before have had a little bit.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the sound of Smash Mouth with Disturbed. They kind of slowed it and pitch shifted, but not this one. And you thought American Idiot the musical was scary.
This is Green Day, Wake Me Up When September Ends, and All-Star from Smash Mouth, for the 2% of you didn't recognize those two songs on their own.
Yeah, there seems to be a disturbing emerging pattern in Last Word of food, cats, and Smash Mouth. I'd like to try and stop that, but I couldn't help myself this week.
That's what you keep finding. That's what you keep putting in.
I know. It's awesome.
I'm going to plug something totally different here.
Okay.
You may have seen this. This is the, if you're a traveler, if you are an outdoors person, outdoorsman, I'm not sure what outdoorsy person, or if you're a type of person that's away from an outlet forever, have you seen Plug?
A Plug? Like an outlet?
No, this is called Plug. No, it is kind of like an outlet. Plug, which you can pre-order now on Indiegogo for around $200, or I think you can get a two-pack for $350. Well, ouch, but...
I could get
it you can charge a lot
Google
of stuff.
Home and a Chromecast.
You could, for that and you could charge all these things and plug them in. This is a 48,000 mAh battery that is 2 pounds, 2.3 pounds, and it has two USBs.
Gotcha.
It's 2.2 pounds. Is not that unportable. It's not a
it's
not
the size
tiny.
Of the average battery case for the iPhone, right?
Yeah. I mean, my laptop is 3 pounds. Two USBs and two regular outlets. So. That's giving you a couple charges on your laptop.
I do like that. That is actually cool. I wonder how much you could pull from it at one time. That is
It's 130 some milliliters. I mean, it's plenty. It'll definitely cover your 90 watt.
Now, how much can you charge people at the airport?
If you're not near.
Can I get in on that? Yeah.
Luckily, more airports are starting to put those in, including your one there in Austin. I was impressed there with your outlet situation there.
To see the USBs in the backs of seats in some planes on United.
I had that last week. That's really nice.
That is super cool.
But we're getting more of that. But yeah, 48,000 mAh. To put that in perspective, the My Chargers that we sell at AT Guys are 6,000, and that will charge your iPhone two or three times. So this one will charge your iPhone... 20 sometimes. Yeah.
Just a bunch. But this is a Kickstarter, you said.
Yeah, Indiegogo. So yeah, a crowdfunding campaign. You have 10 days as of today, so about a week when the show comes out, assumably. They're way past their goal. They've raised $1,600. Okay. Oh yeah, they've raised $550,000 already of their goal of $30,000. Okay. So yeah, it will happen. You can buy a plug. You can also buy... this is like if you're really out there, if you're going to Burning Man or if you're going to somewhere in the middle of nowhere for a week or two, you can get a solar panel that goes with the plug. Right.
Stay green, kids. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is wow. Again, $5. You want to charge? $5. I'm just saying.
$5.
Just step up. Well, $5.
You know? How much?
$5, 10 minutes. Who knows?
How much would you save on your electric bill by just continually just running? Because what can you run off this? Probably a computer, a phone. Not enough to really dent into your electric bill, I guess. Really.
Charging station at CSUN. Drop off your devices, come back and get it. Because, man, if you want to see devices get pegged.
You have to put it by the window so it'll keep solar charging.
Walk through that exhibit hall. Oh, my gosh. Turn off your Bluetooth. Turn off your Wi-Fi. You will save yourself some battery.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, do a Bluetooth scan for devices in the exhibit hall, and you'll see like Bruno, B2G, Focus, iPhone.
Yeah, this is a bad time. Bad time. It's already kind of almost a Faraday cage in that hotel as it is. That is fantastic. You definitely want to head on over to blindbargains.com to be able to learn more about this and others. You said about Kickstarter, Indiegogo. I almost posted this one in Last Word. If you get a chance, and this is mostly a German company, but there's a company out there called Poopy Cat. That's P-O-O-P-Y, Poopy Cat. They actually make, and have had on Kickstarter, cardboard domiciles for your cat. So your regular cat tower and things like this, but they recently came out with this thing called Landmarks. So you could have cardboard that you fold into the Taj Mahal so your cat could be in the Taj Mahal or the Pyramids of Giza or different recognizable landmarks for your cat to play in, which I thought was really interesting. I didn't actually do it, but the benefit here is that it's deep corrugated cardboard and it's very difficult for your cat to destroy it, but it's also very cheap and easy to ship. But unfortunately, a lot of it is available in the EU, not in the United States. But I found it in one of my links one day when I was kind of bouncing back and forth, and I keep looking for these things to come over to the United States. I occasionally get an American distributor, but if you ever get a chance, it's something that didn't make the last word. But when you said crowdfunding, that's where my mind went. And you can find out more about this kind of stuff if you follow me over at Twitter, Ranger Station. All one word, that's twitter.com/rangerstation. You know, they still have the dark mode. I have to turn off voiceover in order to get the dark mode to come up, like I was talking about. That is so sad. I will have more stuff over there. And new fall TV season. So you'll see me talking about Luke Cage, which was awesome, by the way. Wonderfully described. Caption Max, again, over at Netflix. So Luke Cage, I'm watching The 100 right now. And of course, all my DC shows are starting up with Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. Anyway, a lot of geeky stuff over there. And occasionally, blind stuff over there, too. Yeah, that's
lots of geeky.
Low vision things.
If you want to talk to the show or talk to myself, I'm the one that's behind the @BlindBargains Twitter feed. If you see tech news and AT news especially, send it over to us because sometimes we miss things, especially when we're traveling and doing lots of other stuff. So if you see things that are new and let us know, you can send them to @BlindBargains on Twitter. You can also email feedback@blindbargains.com. And if you want to start doing your holiday shopping a little bit early, go to aatguys.com. And you can take a look at some of the latest things that we have there. That's over at atguys.com. And while I'm doing plugs, mentioned Chansey a little bit a while ago. I went there last year to New York. It's a really cool event. I won't be going back this year, but you should go check out if you're in the area. The Free Community Culture and Technology Fair, October
15. One of our best outtakes really cool came thing. From that.
Yes, yep. Right. Yes. With that interview with
on the ML Word Tips. Chansey could project. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. She definitely can.
She can project.
The Andrew High School Library in New York City, they put up a classified, but you can go read about it there over at Blind Bargains. It's over two floors this time, so it's even bigger, even though we're not there. But there's lots of other cool vendors and adaptive recreation and speaker sessions, all sorts of stuff.
That's an amazing resource.
That's really cool. And this is, I think, the third or fourth one now, so that it's definitely evolved quite a bit. And
they bigger apps, and bigger. They have all sorts of community outreach. The New York Public Library is astonishing. We'll get
Patrick to go. They've done a great job. Maybe we'll get Patrick to go over there.
Speaking of that, we wouldn't sound the same without Patrick helping us sound a lot better. Patrick doing his stellar job as per the usual. And of course, we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for our good friends over at HIMS. So when you're in that web browser, don't forget to head on over to HIMS-INC.com. That's HIMS-INC.com. Learn about such wonderful things, of course, as Go Vision and the Blaze ET.
It reminds me of that. There's a website I used to buy from Gourmet Food. Uh-huh. But it was gourmet-food.com, and their slogan was the best gourmet food with a dash.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
Do you still get freaked out when you hear things like e-surance or e-this? Remember when there was the whole e-books philosophy and e-toys? And
It was I, and not things that weren't even Apple were I. Did hear also, not to derail, or it's too late. I did already hear a .cars domain on a commercial.
Oh, really?
You know, so that's starting to come out now. So, and of course,
did their Rick first Ocasek couple. Did and Benjamin Orr get the cars domain?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
For their next tour.
But they had to specify, and I think people are getting used to it. They're like, .cars, not .com, .cars.
Yeah, but how would you not think like, oh my God, that's a virus. What? Go where? You know, those suffixes are still not kind of in the nomenclature in my mind.
No, exactly. We have blind.bargains, which I think is cool. We just don't really mention it much, but we did get it because it was there.
You know? It's branding. It's branding.
You
it's
couldn't
helpful.
Let somebody else get that. You had to. You couldn't, no. You know, you just had to. Because I don't have enough domains.
I was about to say, your collection is...
Oh, I only have like 10 or 12.
Which is not as many as some people that we know. But yeah, definitely one of those things. Also, before we run off, you might know people that are affected in the hurricane area. Matthew is actually hitting Haiti and other parts and has the possibility of hitting the East Coast. I've said it before, with flooding and other natural disasters, if you do have some time and if you have not already, be sure to submit money time, resources, donations, whatever you can to redcross.org. Sometimes they and first responders are the first people out there to an emergency. So definitely watch and pray for those who are in the affected areas. But if you want to help, redcross.org.
That's going to do it, folks, for number 76. We will be back with 77 or GG.
Ooh, we're going to have to get Ricky on to talk about Instapot. We got one of those. We gave into the pressure of the community.
Instapot.
Instacart, Instapot. It just happens. You order from Instacart and you put it in your Instapart.
We'll have to team up on that one since we both have those and we can compare notes. Did she get the Bluetooth or the regular?
Bluetooth, the one with the app.
I think that's the bad decision, but we'll see how that plays out. So.
Then, you know what? Round one, fight.
Well, I'm going to hope she likes it. I've heard some bad reviews of the Bluetooth one, so I hope she likes it. So. We'll talk about that in future and other things and much more. We're going to see you next time.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.